Random House Audio presents Where in the World is Osama Bin Laden? By Morgan Spurlock. Read for you by Eric Singer. Ever since I was a kid, seems like every time I turn on the TV, it tells me that I'm supposed to be afraid of something. Growing up in the waning years of the Cold War, it was the Ruskies with their great big bombs and funny marching and their hatred of the American way. By the time I was old enough to notice, nobody seriously worried anymore about nuclear combat toe-to-toe with the Ruskies, as Major King Kong put it in Dr. Strangelove. Still, when the Soviet Union fell apart in 1990, I thought we were in the clear. But it wasn't just the crazy freedom-hating Russians that we were told to be afraid of. They topped the hit parade for years, but in my lifetime we've been told to panic about all kinds of things. Here are some of them, in no particular order. Soviet nukes, North Korean nukes, suitcase nukes, nuclear power plants, dirty bombs, shoe bombs, guns, assault rifles, semi-automatic weapons, sarin, anthrax, Ebola, E. coli, Lyme disease, Legionnaire's disease, smallpox, salmonella, dengue fever, Asian flu, bird flu, swine flu, yuppie flu, West Nile virus, the pesticides sprayed on the mosquitoes that spread West Nile virus, breast implants, AIDS, SARS, SIDS, ADD, ADHD, PTSD, TB, Y2K, EMP, WMD, illegal aliens, drunk drivers, road rage, asbestos, mercury, lead, oil shortages, the national debt, inflation, stagflation, hurricanes, twisters, tsunamis, asteroids, earthquakes, killer bees, killer canines, mad cows, global warming, the hole in the ozone, flesh-eating bacteria, stem cell research, frankenfood, Halloween, poison Tylenol, sex addiction, identity theft, secondhand smoke, Crips, Bloods, neo-Nazis, Satanists, pagans, cults, serial killers, postal workers, Catholic priests, heroin, cocaine, crack cocaine, methamphetamines, club drugs, ecstasy, Special K, daycare centers, retirement homes, hospitals, an epidemic of obesity, an epidemic of teen drug abuse, an epidemic of teen murders, an epidemic of teen suicides, an epidemic of teen gambling, an epidemic of teens having sex, an epidemic of teens having babies, an epidemic of child pornography, missing children, workplace violence, violence against seniors, violence on TV, violence in movies, violent video games, rap videos, rap music, heavy metal music, Dungeons and Dragons, snuff films, internet porn, high-voltage power lines, cell phones that explode, cell phones that cause brain cancer, drivers on cell phones, pedophiles on MySpace, the air, water, soil, eggs, ham, fish, peanuts, spinach, and dog food. And in 2001, fear got a new mascot. A glorious rebranding featuring the godfather of fear, the hardest-working man in terrorism, Osama bin Laden. The attacks of September 11th ramped us up to levels of fear and paranoia I'd never felt in my life. Some of it was justified. I mean, it was the first time since Pearl Harbor that outside aggressors had attacked us on our own soil. But all the media-fanned panics that followed were even scarier than the actual event. The odd thing is that when you look past the terror of the headlines, Americans actually live longer, healthier, safer lives than ever before. Our average life expectancy is 60% greater than it was at the start of the 20th century. Medical science has conquered all sorts of diseases that were once common killers. Violent crime has plummeted in every major city. We're safer in our homes, in our cars, on planes, trains, and bicycles than ever before. But we don't feel safer, do we? In poll after poll, we express our belief that times are more frightening now than they used to be, that we're so close to the apocalypse that you can smell the brimstone. We're afraid of strangers. We're afraid of our own teenagers. We're afraid of insects. We're afraid of the food we eat and the water we drink and the air we breathe. We're afraid of TV and movies and the internet. We're afraid of the weather. And we're afraid the earth itself is dying. Fear is a biological survival mechanism. But there's rational, useful fear, and then there are phobias. Illogical, unwarranted fears of imagined or highly exaggerated threats. Take the fear of flying. Flying is a much safer form of transportation than, say, driving. In 2004, a representative year, almost 43,000 Americans died in car accidents. That same year, only 600 Americans died in aircraft crashes. Your chances of dying in an aircraft are around 1 in 10 million versus 1 in 7,000 in a car. Statistically, you're far safer during your flight than you are driving to and from the airport. Now take terrorism. Since 9/11, we've been kept on a constant state of alert about terrorists. Depending on who's doing the math, the average American civilian's chance of being a victim of a terrorist attack are minuscule, about 1 in 9 million, according to one estimate. According to the National Safety Council, you have an equal, if not greater, chance of being struck and killed by lightning, 6,188,298 to 1, or of being bitten to death by a dog, 9,089,063 to 1. Let me put it another way. From the Oklahoma City bombing in 1995 through 2005, about 3,200 American civilians died in terrorist attacks, 2,973 of them on the single day of September 11, 2001. In that same period, in round numbers, about 700,000 Americans died of heart disease. Roughly 600,000 Americans died of cancer. Nearly 500,000 Americans died in car accidents. About 200,000 died in homicides. Nearly 150,000 died after falls. Almost 40,000 people drowned. And more Americans were killed by police officers, almost 4,000, than by terrorists. Despite the infinitesimal chance that the average American will be the victim of a terrorist attack, Osama bin Laden and the global war on terror have turned our society upside down and inside out. We've started two wars that we can't seem to end, in which thousands of people are dying. The United States has committed what many see as war crimes and human rights abuses. By the fall of 2006, more Americans had died fighting the war on terror in Afghanistan and Iraq than were killed by terrorists from 1995 to 2005. So why, if the threat is so exaggerated, do we feel so much dread? Partly because we're told to, over and over and over. We live in what sociologists call a culture of fear, in which the media, the government, and various special interest groups keep us in a constant state of anxiety about wave after wave of supposed new threats to our health and well-being. Since Machiavelli's time, politicians have known how to use fear to keep people distracted, cowed, and obedient. Bureaucrats use it to justify their budgets and their jobs. TV news people use fear as a way to keep our eyes glued to the screen. And special interest groups use it to keep our donations pouring in. But since September 11th, the government hasn't just kept us in a panic. The government itself has been in a panic. In 2002, the Bush administration created the Department of Homeland Security, whose very name invokes insecurity, not to mention the odd sound of that word, homeland. The DHS is nothing but a massive restructuring of the same old federal bureaucracy. It's an interdepartmental Frankenstein stitched together from existing agencies, including Customs, the Immigration and Naturalization Service, FEMA, and various parts of the FBI, the Coast Guard, the Secret Service, and the Departments of Defense, Transportation, Energy, and Agriculture. With an annual budget upwards of $40 billion, the DHS defends us from terrorists, illegal aliens, drug smugglers, hurricanes, earthquakes, and epidemics. It guards our seaports and coastlines, our farms and reservoirs, and protects us in cyberspace. The DHS spends about $5 billion a year screening us at airports. But the reality, as the Atlantic Monthly noted, is that it's largely for show. The inspection process is mostly security theater to make people feel safe about flying, says John Mueller, a political scientist at Ohio State. Only it doesn't make us feel safer, does it? Take off your shoes! Empty that baby bottle! At Dulles Airport, security personnel ordered a woman to peel her banana. Banana bombs! That nursing mother and her child in the seat next to you could be terrorists. She could be carrying liquid explosives in her breasts. How do you know she isn't? Don't rough her up when you arrest her. She might explode. You think I'm joking? I met a woman who was ordered by an inspector at Newark International Airport to remove the gel inserts from her push-up bra. Just because she's a member of the IBTC, that's the Itty Bitty Titty Committee for those of you who aren't or don't act like you're 12, she's a terrorist threat. You'd never see Pamela Anderson getting stopped. Why? Because Pamela Anderson loves freedom, 36D times more than that other girl. These were the thoughts that were running through my head as I sat in front of the TV in January 2006.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?